Good morning. Good to see everybody. Thank you for allowing us to go on a bit of a break. We had fun, my wife and I and the kids, but it's good to be back home. I actually came a day earlier because I just couldn't wait to get back home. I'll be honest. My daughter on day two, she was like, I want to go to school. I'm like, what is wrong with you? We're walking on the beach and, you know, it's like, I want to go to school. I miss school. I'm like, what is wrong with you? Anyway, I prayed for her and I delivered her from a demon. I did. I said, come out, you foul, lying spirit. But it's good to be back home. It's good to be with you guys. And welcome all the new faces. If I haven't met you, I'm Stefan. And this morning, I really felt something in my heart that I wanted to share. And as I was praying as well, and just really, it sounds so very spiritual when pastors come back from a retreat. While I was meditating on the Lord. Now, I was walking on the beach and and the Lord speaks to me like that, okay? He can speak to me in the shower, on the toilet, anywhere. He can speak to me. I don't have to meditate on the toilet. I might fall off the toilet if I meditate there. Okay. So, I really kind of in my heart felt something stirring about community. Something of what the Lord wants to do in and through community. So I'm going to start at a very unconventional place this morning. I don't want to start at this is what community looks like and I'm going to give you the 5 or 10 points of community and this is what cool community looks like and everything. I want to talk about a subject this morning that I've entitled consumerism versus community. So I want to look at something like that this morning with you and how consumerism. Now, the interesting thing, for those of you who don't know, I became a full-time elder about 9 years ago. And before that, I worked in marketing and advertising. So worked for a small advertising agency. And so I understand consumerism. I understand the four letters S-A-L-E very well, because that's what we basically, and everybody's like, what does that spell? It spells sale. Okay. Sale. Okay. So everybody falls for that because there's actually a thing called consumer law and there's all these things that we do so that people will consume more. You know, my kids, you know, they're not used to, McDonald's or Burger King, but when you see that sign, they know it. You know, it's like they light up. They're like, oh, Burger King! I go, 250 rand, boom, right there. But that's it, that's about, and half an hour later, they're hungry again because it's just consumption. And it's, so I want to show you this. Some of you might know this. This is not psychology class 101 or anything, but most of you know what that is. Who knows what that is? What's that, Linda? Maslow's hierarchy of needs. Okay, so this guy, Maslow, very clever guy, don't know him from a bar of soap. He came up with this little pyramid. Sorry, this is the best JPEG that I could get. Actually, it's very like, I know, it's about that big, you know. So they say that we have basic needs. Right at the bottom here is your physiological needs. We all need food, water, and sleep. Would you agree with me? Your baby keeps you awake. You need sleep. Okay, it's a physiological, you look like you need sleep. Your baby keeps you awake, you're like, oh baby, I need sleep, I need to, I can't function without. That's a physiological need, food, water, it's basic stuff that we need. But as you grow, your needs become a little bit more tuned, if I can call it that. Then we all want safety. We all want a place where we can call home, a roof over our heads, we want a bed and everything. And I must say, that some people have this basic need. That's all they have. That's fulfilled, the bottom one. Some people don't even have safety. But then we get to the third tier. We start seeing that we all want to belong. We all want to be loved. There's not a being on planet Earth that does not respond to love. Every single person responds to love and we all want to belong to something. So I go to the library and I get my library card. I belong to the library, you know. And I belong to, you know, who belongs to the library? Yay, you see, you all want to belong to something. Who collects stamps? No, nobody. Oh. So we all want to do something. We want to huddle together. We want to be known. We want to be known by people. Then there's self-esteem. You've acquired the skill to lead, to honor, and recognize. You know, that you want to have esteem in your life. You want to grow up and be somebody. And then lastly, there's self-actualization, that you actually become something in life. You know, my daughters from young age, I say to them, study hard that you can become something in life. What do you want to become? So I'm trying to build that into their life so that they can have that point of self-actualization where they actually become something. You know, my dad always said, yeah, just don't waste your time. You know, like I started surfing when I was 13 years old and my dad was like, no, you got to go find a job. Don't just surf, you know. Surfing's not going to make you money, until I showed him Kelly Slater that made a lot of money. And I was like, he's like, oh, okay, cool. I agree. Okay. But I didn't become a professional surfer. And I didn't make the money that Kelly Slater made. But ultimately, we all want to have that. So this is not the psychology class. Why am I talking about these things? I'm talking about things, that third one, that we all need to belong. And church is a place that's inclusive. And community is the place that God has created in His sovereign. It's amazing. When the Spirit was poured out, the church was birthed. And the first thing that we see in the book of Acts is community. Is that togetherness of a people that come together and they have all things in common. It's that beautiful picture, that word koinonia, fellowship. That's what we want. We all desire that. So let me get to my notes quickly because I'm ad-libbing now. So a while back, a friend of mine decided that big church wasn't for him. He was looking for something that was smaller and more intimate. So he basically said, listen, I'm done with this. I've had enough of this big church. I've had enough of this. I'm just a number. And he decided to go do, you know, a bit of searching. So yeah, just prior to that, being challenged on community and being accountable with his life and more specifically, his finances. So we do that. If you're in community, some of us, we struggle how to work with finances, and there's some men in this church and women in this church that's better with their finances. So we're like, let's help you through this. But this guy, once you start, you know, the one thing that you get taught is this: don't touch a man's children and don't touch his pocket. Don't touch this thing. You know, if I can get it out. Don't touch this thing. Because this is what defines us as human beings, apparently, is our money and how much you have in the bank. So as soon as we challenge that guy, and it's not Bernard, he's not leaving. But as soon as we started challenging him on his finances and the way that he was spending it, and even on tithes and all these things that happens within community, he just felt like, oh, God is moving me on. This is getting too hot here. It's too much. Shortly thereafter, he decided to resign from church membership, to take a few months sabbatical and shop around. Does that sound familiar? Because I'm sure that, and this is not an indictment this morning. I want to help you through this, that we break that mentality within the church. Because that mentality is in the church, it's prevalent. And I'm going to show you how it is. Where people say, well, I feel my season is over. I've used those words where I said, I think my season. All it meant was, I am so fed up with you. Stop scratching where it's not itching. And I'm out of here. Hasta la vista. But the problem is God is busy with you, maybe in a process, And you need to go through this process. And you're just pulling yourself out of a process that God's busy with. Guess what? It's going to happen at the next church, at the next church, at the next church. Something else will scratch you there. The chairs might not be nice this time. The coffee might be horrible. Whatever. Can you see how quickly consumerism has slipped in? Because we've decided that's how I join church. The preaching is well. The worship is okay. The chairs are not too cool. So we start weighing up what we think church should look like. Do you think that the first church had any of these comforts? That they made a decision, I'm going to join Peter's church, you know, based upon the fact that Peter doesn't preach long. Well, one of the guys fell out of the window. He preached through the night, you know. I mean, talk about long-winded Peter, you know. And, you know, these are the things, how we weigh up. Okay, so by taking himself out of the organized church, he had in effect removed himself from the very place he would be challenged and grow and live out God's mandate for him. And you see, the Bible says this, by this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. But he heard from God and he moved on. Now, if you play the I heard from God card, I cannot challenge you on that because I have to teach you how to hear God. And you know that. But I heard from God. I always say the proof is always in the pudding. You always look at the results. You always look at the fruit thereof and what happens then. And I'm not saying that this is the only place. Listen, we have released people from this congregation. And we will gladly pray them, not gladly, we will pray them out, not gladly, sadly, we will pray them out and release them. Why? Because there's more in that God sends than if you're a went one. You're a sent one, not a went one. Okay, you guys get that. So I would like to address two very important issues that we sometimes see in tension, the one of consumerism and the one of community. So, like all good pastors do, we Google, okay? So, Wikipedia tells me this is what consumerism is. So please listen. Consumerism is a social and economic order that is based on the systematic creation and fostering of a desire to purchase goods and services in an ever greater amount. Should I say that again? It's a systematic creation. So consumerism must start something. You know that lady standing there in Checkers with the piece of horse? She's creating something. She's creating a desire, you know. You taste it and it's like, how many luckiest divorce here? I mean, you've tasted like hundreds of wars, but this one is the best wars. My kids always are like, that's the best wars. I want that. And that's the wars that is now 95 Rand today on special. Okay. So systematically, they're creating something and a fostering of a desire to purchase. And then a desire will grow even more. That's consumerism. So it starts with a small little thing usually when you shop around for church. It's like a little thing. It's like a little niggle. Like a little thing. I can't put my finger on it. What's the thing? Why did you leave the church? I can't put my finger on it. Something. Usually when I feel like that, I go to myself. You know, a very wise man once told me, if you want to start revival, draw a circle around yourself and revive everything inside that circle. And then you make the circle bigger. But before that, don't go. Start with yourself. Ask yourself, what is the nickels in my heart? What is the idiosyncrasies? Then let's look at what community is, because we're going to look at that this morning. Community is a biological term. In biological terms, it's a group of interacting organisms sharing a populated environment. So that's what we do this morning. We are interacting organisms sharing a populated environment. In human communities, intent, belief, resources, preferences, needs, risks, and a number of other conditions may be present and common, affecting the identity of the participants and their degree of cohesiveness. In other words, if there is certain things, there's reasons why people get together. There's reasons why you go to the library and join the library. There's reasons. There's reasons within you that you become part of a community. I joined the yacht club because I have a yacht. Okay. So I become part of the yacht club. I become part of the Yuxkay club because I play Yuxkay, whatever. There's a commonality. Why do you become a member of a church? Because there's a commonality. Jesus. That's the center point. That should be the center point. You don't join a church because there's good coffee or there's good preaching or anything like that. You join the church because Jesus is there. It's a river of life is there. That's why you join a church. That's why I would join a church. Did join a church. And I would like to caution, like my friend, if you don't commit yourself to an official church community, regularly attending, with the intention of committing, with a strong biblical sound leadership, with godly values, there are certain things that you'll never work through in your life and you'll constantly be shopping around. My friend is still shopping around. He's still not committed anywhere. He's still just floating around. And whenever I speak to him about it, he's like, oh, it's a sensitive subject. You know what? Where's that book? I just want to grab a book. I think I've mentioned this book before by a guy called Joshua Harris. It's called Why Church Matters. This book started out as a paper that he wrote, and he entitled the paper, Stop Dating the Church. So it's basically about dating and how people date the church, but they never commit. And when you date, it's easy to pull out of a relationship. It's very easy to up and leave. It's very easy. And I have no problem that people date because you look in. You look into the values. You look into the things. You're like, oh, I like those things. I like what they say. But it shouldn't just be the things that you like. It should be things that are biblical values. Are we upholding biblical values? Then I would say, yes, those are the things that you should go for. But here's the thing is that, and he writes this so very eloquently, he says that you rob yourself. But before we look at the benefits of commitment, consider what a loss it is when church dating becomes a way of life. If you just shop around like my friend and you just date churches, when we resist passion and commitment in our relationship with the church, everyone gets cheated. You see, if I just stay dating Deborah Ann, there's never any commitment. There's no passion. There's nothing. And I will just keep on living that life. If I have a fight with her, I can just climb in my car and go home. We never deal with things. We never talk things through. And this is what happens when you just keep on being a consumer. And then he writes this, he says, you cheat yourself. You're actually cheating yourself. You're cheating a church community because you're not committed and you cheat the world. What's the mandate that God left us with? Go into all the world. The world is suffering. The world is dying because we don't commit. I have commitment phobia. So consumerism, let's look at these things quickly. It's actually critical to be in a loving community, both in the micro, in other words, not just the big picture. Yo, old brother, I belong to the universal church. I belong to Jesus. And Jesus is the one preaching to me and through his Holy Spirit, and I belong to the universal church. Yeah, well, I see that there's also the micro, not just the macro. The micro would be local churches. Go read your Bible if you haven't seen it. Read the book of Acts. Local churches popped up everywhere. But then there's something else that we see is that in the local church, there's little groups, community groups, home groups, whatever you want to call it. Just don't call it a home cell, please. It's just bad. Everybody's behind bars, you know, home cell. Wow. Call it a community, a life group. Call it what you want. Just not a home cell. Sorry, Ralph Neighbor, but I just don't like that word. So we all need to have the micro, home groups and small groups, and the macro, the church body, because this is where we can give, where we can commit, and this is the place where we get challenged. If you don't get challenged within those two groups, then I'm asking you myself, are we doing what Christ would have done? Are we doing what the first church is doing? We have drifted so far from the book of Acts. And I'm not trying to reinvent the book of Acts. The book of Acts is the book of Acts. We're actually in the Acts of Christ still, of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is still moving. He's still building the church. We're still in that. And unfortunately, and these three things, Paul writes about them very clearly. He says that we build, we need to build. We need to build on the foundation that can never be laid again, Christ Jesus. So we need to build, but we also, he says, that we need to grow up. We need to grow up into the fullness, the Bible says, of the stature of Christ. And I'm helping my brother to grow up, and he's helping me to grow up. That's how this works. This is the relationship that we have. Iron sharpening iron. And friends forming one another. So within the church, you're going to get challenged. They're going to press on your buttons. They're going to press on those things that you don't like to be addressed. But God's going to use those people amongst you. Okay, does it make sense? And then the last thing is sometimes we need to adapt, the Bible says. Paul says, I have become a Jew to Jews, to all men. So sometimes within the church, we adapt within our cultural context, even within Just Gen, 23 congregations. This congregation doesn't look like Marshall Bay. It doesn't look like Willowmore. It doesn't look like Dunoon. Each one of us, we have our own set of challenges, our own cultures. Within that, do we bow down to the culture? No, definitely. We raise the standard. We become the culture. We bring a kingdom culture. And that's what community is bringing. However, we live in a I will choose society. Choices. I mean, you just walk in any store and all the choices that you have. Within your own brand that you like, you have choices. And I will choose. You know, my kids always say, I will choose, I will choose, I will choose. We don't like long-term commitment. We have a commitment phobia within our generation where people don't. The thing that hurts me most of this town is the divorce rate that we see. 2 years, 3 years, 5 years. Even those that have been married for 17 and 20, 25 years. What happened? No, we fell out of love. How do you do that? How do you fall out of love? Love is a choice. Love is a commitment. Love is something that you lay down your life for one another. That's what it is. Not when the going gets tough. Oh, I fell out of love. Do you even understand what love is? And I'm not going to break out in an 80s song right now. I promise you. We don't like long-term commitments. I will take out my membership for 6 months. Thank you very much. I'll commit for 6 months. 6 months, you know? A year at the most. Don't tie me in on a 2-year contract. Please don't. We have commitment issues. Just like at all the shops and restaurants and all the options available to us. We like a sit-in restaurant, but if a better one opens, we'd rather go there. I saw this very thing happen in Hong Kong. I was in Hong Kong a few years back. So people, you just have to walk in the streets and go ask, what's the best restaurant? And people will tell you. They'll tell you, that's now the best restaurant. So it's like, that's the restaurant of the month. And you go there. And everybody goes there. And that restaurant is doing well for 6 months or to a year. And then there's another restaurant that just becomes, and people pick restaurants like that in Hong Kong. It was crazy. I don't know if it was my own experience like that, but that's how I experienced that with the people there. And then that poor guy that's, you know, slogging it away for the last 6 years, he's just not making any money anymore because everybody moved on. The new thing is in town. The new flavor of the month. And what we do then, when we get there and they don't fulfill our needs, we never return and warn all our friends of it. You know how it works. One person tells 5 people. And quickly, everybody knows. Because that one person tells another 5, and that one person, this is how it is. And with social media today, it's viral. Exactly why we call it viral campaigns. Because I think it was Charles Spurgeon said that a lie has gone around the world twice before truth has even put on their trainers, you know. And that's the thing. Why is it that we hear the lies first, the dirty stories, you know, huisgenoot achterblad, you know? We hear those stories first. We don't know anything about the person, but we hear the dirty stories about them. And a new person comes into town, we hear the dirty stories about them first. And then we judge them according to their dirty stories. We don't ask any other questions. We don't ask, where did they come from? How have they grown? What was the things? If people hold my past against me, you know, Jesus doesn't even hold my past against me. He says, as far as the east is from the west, I've removed you. You have become a new creation. He doesn't hold my past. It's only Satan that will do that. Satan will hold your past against you. Why do we hold anybody else's past against them? What if, church, I'm asking you, seriously now, what if you know somebody is a pedophile and he walks through those doors? What will you do? Hold a little bit tighter onto your children, eh? What will you do? Will you go greet him and love him the way that Jesus will love him? I'm asking myself that question. I am a dad. What would I do? What would I do if somebody else walks in of a different orientation? Of a different way of thinking? That church is becoming dangerous. I'm gonna go. Dangerous. People, I was a part of a church that we're in the heart of Brooklyn. Not Brooklyn, Pretoria, Brooklyn in the Cape, the heart of it. If you walked out of the church, literally, it was in an old cinema. If you walked out of the church, there was a girl standing on the corner, 14 years old. Her father was a drug addict. Her mother was an alcoholic. She was 14 years old. She was a lady of the night, 14 years old. She worked so that she could keep the family going. One day, people dropped off their kids. So the dad pulls up and his daughter is coming out. And so his daughter's walking to the car and he's opening the window and he's calling her. And this girl comes running to him. This girl on the corner. We'll call her Corner Girl. Corner Girl comes running to his car window and pushes his own daughter out of the way and says, "What did she offer you? I'll do it for half the price." So he's like, "No, that's my daughter." She says to him, "I'll become anything for you." That is the world we live in. That is the world we live in. Was that dangerous? Cars got stolen. Hey. We got broken into. Hey. They always stole the amps. They always stole the speakers out. You know, they didn't steal the whole box. They just cut the speaker out to put it in the back of their Mazda or their Mini or something, I think. That's something that I got born again into. And I was never afraid because I know that Jesus Christ is with me wherever I go. So I didn't decide, well, this church is becoming dangerous, and then left because of my own preference. Never did that. I will choose. See, if I will choose becomes your little mantra, your little motto, that's classic consumerism. There is nothing inherently wrong with it when talking economics, when you talk about that. But when you put it in the equation of the church, and this attitude has crept into this, into the modern day church, we may say these words in disgust. No way. No way, never. I will never do that. But we do this at times when challenged or asked by our leadership to submit and follow blindly. Sometimes I'm going to ask you to follow blindly because that's what faith does. The Bible says in Hebrews, submit to your leaders. Not because of that I can dictate over you. I've been called that. I'm okay with it. I've been called a dictator. That's okay. I'm not a dictator. You can ask my wife. You can ask my kids if I'm a dictator. A dictator is very different to a person that keeps principles. Very different. Are you guys still with me? It's becoming very quiet in this church. Say Aina or amen or anything like that. We do this when we refuse to commit to a local church body or whatever reasons we might have. People jump from church to church and then searching for the perfect church experience. Everybody is looking for that. I had the privilege, you know, sometimes when I'm on holiday, I know I'm naughty doing that. I shouldn't go to churches, but I want to go see other churches. It's my only time I can go to other churches. So I did. And go see another church and, you know, and just be part of that. Just to worship Jesus with them. Not to sit on the chair critical and go, okay, let me see, you know. But to learn. Any leader that stops learning is not a leader. We constantly need to learn. I constantly want to be taught. I will constantly want to learn from other people that have gone through, you know, worse stuff than me maybe. So I went and just picking up things in the spirit that I would like to see here with us. But consumerism is mostly anti-community. It's very anti-community. Consumerism is not about people. It's about me. Consumerism is all about taking, while community is all about giving. Consumerism is about doing and saying whatever I please, whatever I please, no matter how it affects anyone around me. I'll just say it. That's consumerism. Community is all about commitment, love, serving, and celebrating one another. That's what it is about. Consumerism is about loving and looking out for yourself above all else. But community is a group of people who love and who love your and who's got your back without preferences and pretenses. Remember that little thing that I said, what is community? Community is a group of interacting organisms. Hebrews chapter 10, let's get to the Bible. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he has promised, is faithful, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. That's community. I need to stir up every single person here to love and good works. not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some. You see, as is the habit of consumers. But encouraging one another, and all the more as the day drawing near. What's that day? The day of the Lord when Jesus is returning. All the more. Community is a group of interacting organisms. How can you interact if you never come to church? Are you part of a church? Yeah. When were you there last time? No, this year once. Are you an interacting organism? Definitely not. How can I say that I'm married to my wife and love my wife, but I never talk to her? I never communicate with her. I never, you know, I'm never intimate. Never. There's no passion. There's no nothing. How can I say that I'm married? Just because you attend a meeting or a group of people for a certain amount of time, it doesn't mean you're in a healthy community. That's another problem. Just because you go somewhere doesn't mean you're in a healthy community. I want to warn you as well. If you go to these little groups and things, I don't know how healthy that is. Is that a true representation of Jesus Christ and the body of Christ? Is Christ the head? Is there an interaction? Is there apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists that is giving, equipping the saints for the work of the ministry? I'm not saying that when you just sit under a prophetic ministry every Sunday and that guy prophesies what you each year want to hear, that is the prophetic. No, that's just, or you just go to evangelical crusades and tent meetings, and there's nothing against any of these. I want to say that. But if that is all that you have in your diet, you're not getting a balanced diet. You're not seeing the church. You're seeing a part thereof, maybe a fifth thereof. You're trying to punch the enemy with one finger. But if you have the closed hand, you have apostles, you have pastors, teachers, evangelists, you have it all closed, it's a fist, and that thing becomes powerful. Can you see how we're lacking sometimes in these things? And I'm not discounting any of the gifts. We need all of them. And for me, it's important that we even raise these things up. And that's why I'm part of an apostolic and a prophetic community. Just Jen is an apostolic and prophetic church. Apostles didn't cease and stop when the apostolic age ended. No. But the apostles have different jobs right now. They don't write doctrine. They don't set doctrine. They don't write any scripture or anything like that. Okay. They do set doctrine. We do set doctrine. I set doctrine as an elder. I set doctrine, discipline, and direction. That's my job as an elder, as a pastor, as a shepherd, as an overseer. Does it make sense, these things? Community is about interacting organisms. It's about a team of followers of Jesus Christ fulfilling their specific functions. Let's turn quickly to Ephesians chapter 4. I'm almost done. I'm going to read Ephesians and Acts and then we're done. Here's that verse that I just quoted. And he, that's Jesus Christ. That's one of the amazing things when Jesus ascended. In his ascension, the beautiful thing is that he didn't leave us alone. He didn't just give us the Holy Spirit. He gave us also. He deposited parts of himself. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. That's what we do. Until we all, can you say all? All. Not some, all of us attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. Can you see? It's always about Jesus. It's all about Christ. To mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Again, what I said this morning, we look to Jesus. From whom the whole body, joined and held together, may by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part, say each part, is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Each part needs to work properly So if one part, there's doctors here, you all know if one part is broken, then there's an overcompensation usually on the other side. You have to work harder. You're limping, but now the one leg is taking more strain than the other leg. Why? Because the one is not healthy. We need to get it healthy again. We need to strengthen the feeble hands. We need to strengthen those that are struggling amongst us and bring them in. The one thing we learned in the army is you run at the pace of the weakest, not of the fastest. I mean, that happened once or twice. And then the fast guys had to literally run back and go fetch the other guys. So we learned very quickly that you run behind the slowest guy. Why? Because we all need to reach the end. It's not about superstars. It's not about, oh, I've attained it all. No, it's about every part working together. Every part. And here's a wonderful picture that we see of community, church community that is healthy. And let's turn to Acts chapter 2. You guys have heard this, but I want to talk about this again. Acts chapter 2 verse 42. So Peter preached under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. 3,000 people, you know, become born again Christians. Yeah, they believe, they receive, they're filled with the Spirit, they're baptized. And straight after that, from verse 41, immediately verse 42 says, and they, these guys that just got saved, brand new converts, no Bible school, no nothing, no training, no nothing. They devoted themselves, what? To what? Apostles' teaching. So at that stage, the apostles were teaching. So they had the Old Testament scriptures and then the letters that was written. So that was it. So two things. We commit ourselves to the Word of God. We need to be Word-based people. We cannot survive in this world if we're gonna live by every word spoken on Wikipedia. Or Google, or Oprah Winfrey. Okay, Bible never says, man shall live from every word that Oprah Winfrey spoke. Everybody's a winner. No, you're not all gonna get something under the chair. It's not how it works. God's not this genie. You know, put in my R5 and chick, get something out. So the thing is this, we live by the word. The apostles were teaching. So that we are an apostolic people. And I'll teach about this a little bit later. What it means to be an apostolic people is a people that's going. People that's not just sitting and consuming, a people that's going. That's what an apostolic people is. And then this next thing is they devoted themselves to fellowship. They didn't neglect, like Hebrews says, like some were doing, the fellowship. They devoted themselves. Can you see the word there that's used? Devotion. It's a deep devotion. They committed to breaking of bread. And that's what we're going to do today. We're going to break bread once a month. We committed. But we're not just committed to break bread in church. We're committed to break bread within our communities. You'll see now what happened in the churches. They didn't just meet in one local area in the synagogue. They also met from house to house. And that is a principle that we live by. Breaking bread. Breaking bread is not just that sacrament. I really believe in my whole heart when you have a Brian, you invite somebody over. That's breaking bread together. That's how easy it was for Jesus. They just ate, people. There wasn't a little table with wine and bread packed out. They just ate. Judas was sitting and looking at the account of how much it was costing for them to eat the night, you know. John and the sons of Zebedee was lying on Jesus' chest talking about who's going to sit closest to him. You know, everybody was around the table. Hulle was gesellig. They were eating together. And then he says, as often as you do this, remember me. The body of Christ was broken for us. We bring it back together when we remember it. Okay. And prayers. Prayers, not just corporate prayers. We will call corporate meetings sometimes, but mostly we have prayer meetings happening on Wednesdays, on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays at Jurgen's and Gisela's house. Every morning, men, you guys are welcome. My wife organizes women's prayer meetings, so you can chat to her twice a month? Every 2 weeks. Okay, twice a month, in other words. So every 2 weeks. So please, if you want to be included, it happens in somebody's house. But we pray, yeah, every morning before the service, 15 minutes to half an hour before the service. Daai kringetjie wat daar buite staan, ons sing hier Kumbaya nie. We talk, we have a little interaction about the weekend, but we pray. People say, where's the prayer meetings? There's the prayer meeting. There's a prayer meeting. So please, come and join us. I don't want the same 11 or 15 people there every Sunday. I want everybody to pray and be devoted. Okay. And we pray in our home groups. The next thing is, and awe came upon every soul and many wonders and signs. That's one of the things that we want to see happening. Here is a wonder and a sign sitting right here. There's a wonder and a sign sitting there. Louise shared a testimony of how God healed her. And then she went and she prayed for her husband and he got healed. Hey, come on. Signs and wonders. And many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. I don't want to be the one that's always praying. I want you guys to do this. I need to equip you to do that. And all who believed were together. And I've said this a million times, so it's probably, now I'm exaggerating, I know. But the Greek there reads, and they were all together, together. You walk into the mall, you're all together, but are you together? Are you really together? And that's what that Greek reads there. They were together, they were all together, together. And that's when we come to the house of the Lord, we are all together, together. Why? Because we look unto Jesus. And had all things in common. Next verse. And they were selling their possessions. It's funny that you read that same, similar scripture later on in the book of Acts. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. What's the need amongst us? We need to find out. Hence the fact that you're in a community. In the community, you can let your community leader know, listen, guy, we don't have milk and bread. I'm not going to pay for your petrol. I'm not going to pay for your electricity, most probably. But I'm most probably going to put food on your table. So sometimes people move and communities come together and we help them move. I mean, I remember I've moved 7 times being in Josh Jen. 7 times. All my moves took less than 4 hours. From every point to the next point. Who's moved within Josh Jen that you've been helped? We have. You guys have. Within Josh Jen, that's something we want to do. So if you're moving, we'll come and help. We want to help. Anybody had a baby lately? We want to help you. We want to bring food to your house. But be part of a fellowship. Be part of a community. We want to know these things. We want to come help you. Because we know how difficult it gets. Selling their possessions and belongings and distributing. And day by day, later on, it changes. I think in Acts chapter 17, it changes where it says the first day of the week, which is Sunday. But day by day, these guys were so excited and devoted. Day by day, they were attending the temple. Day by day, they came to church. They were like, yes, we want to be, yeah, this is what we want to do. I remember when I became a Christian, the first thing, 7 days a week, I was busy with the church. My mom was like, you're off your nuts. What's wrong with you? Attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, and they received their food with glad and generous hearts. They sat around the table and prayed and talked and played games and, you know, settlers of Catan and all these things, you know. Almost said settlers of Satan, but it's not. For those of you who don't play board games, anyway. I just want to say this. This is on CD Settlers of Catan is the gateway drug to games. I just want to say that. That's like, it's like the entrance, you know. There's more, there's a bigger world of board games. Ask myself and Bernard. Ask Bernard. Okay, that's all I'm saying. praising God. We must probably have to edit this out. Praising God and having favor with all the people. You see, this is what it's about within this town, that we have favor with all the people, and the Lord added to their number day by day those who are being saved. That is true community. So if you're shopping around, hopefully with the intention to commit, you should be looking at the following four things, and I've just kind of brought them down to four things that are fruits of a healthy church community. A devotion to teaching the whole Bible as absolute truth. That's the first thing. That's what you need to look for. The second thing is believe in the power of prayer, individual and corporate. That's what we do. Then the third thing is a commitment to living life together. The first thing when I joined, how many years ago? 2006. 13 years ago when I joined Just Chain, the first thing is what I heard was this: we don't do church together, we do life together. And I know in the busyness of life, we all drift, but that is ultimately that we want to pull it back to, is doing life together. Find a community where you can do life together. And then the fourth thing is vision and values that result in a good reputation in the community that once again results in numerical growth. That's what it's about. That's a church. That's healthy. Healthy things will produce and healthy things will grow. I have one final question for you. Are you someone who creates and fosters the desire to consume in ever greater amounts? Or are you someone who loves, serves, celebrates others as a healthy expression of a kingdom-driven community? Are you a consumer or are you a giver? Are you a community? That's my question. Are you part of a community? And for the next few weeks, months, I don't know how long, this term, I don't know. I want us to look at what community looks like. And I want us to stir up with one another again, our communities. We have currently four communities. Soon we'll have six. And we would love to plant more before the end of the year. So if you're also here and you've been visiting, and you're saying to me, you know, Stefan, we've never heard about how can we join this church. And some of you have indicated that. Please come to me. Talk to me. Put your name down. Maybe give it to my wife. She's sitting there in the back, the one beautifully crocheting there in the back. Give it to her, Deborah Ann. Put your name down so we can run you through what Josh Jane looks like. That we, if you're going to say, we're going to marry this, because it's not about dating, it's about marrying. We're not just dating for the rest of our lives. Okay, there's no commitment to dating. Nothing. There's no passion to dating. There's nothing. Let's close our eyes.